Genesis chapter 1, we're excited. We began a series last week and really just introduction, and I'm going to try to go a little further than that tonight, but Genesis chapter 1 and a series on In the Beginning, and at least we're going to go through, Lord willing, the first 11 chapters of the book of Genesis, and we've got obviously lots of studies we want to do, but different themes we want to look at and different books and things, but we're going to at least do that. Not tonight, all, but we're going to do that, and then we'll get on into possibly something else, come back, and then start dealing with Abraham, chapter 12 and all that, all right? And so Genesis chapter 1 tonight, and we're going to start there in verse 1. If you're there with me, say amen.
Amen.
Just that first verse. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we love you. We thank you so much for loving us while so oftentimes we're unlovely. Lord, thank you for each one that's came out tonight to hear your word. It's my prayer that you would, for these next few moments, illuminate us. God, open our eyes. Help us to behold the wondrous things out of your word. We'll praise you and thank you for what you do. For it's in Christ Jesus' name we pray. Amen. And so we spent, as I said last week, really just introducing the series entitled In the Beginning. And really, we began with these four words, in the beginning, God. In the beginning, God. And it's because what we do with these first four words of the Word of God will determine what we do with the rest of the Word of God. If we don't get it settled right there in the beginning, right there in the beginning of it all, where it says, in the beginning, God. As long as we settle it there, we won't have a problem with anything else in the Bible. But if we don't get it settled there, you're going to have questions and problems and strife all throughout the Word of God. As we began this series through the book of Genesis last week, we talked about how critical it is to begin with God. In everything, we got to begin with God, and how important it is that we do that in every area of our life. The Bible begins and ends with God, giving us a pattern for our life that everything ought to begin and end, of course, with God. If you want to know, if you want to be able to answer the greatest questions in life, and it's amazing that so many people are just wandering through this life and they really don't know what's going on, they really don't know why anything is or what anything is, but if you want to know the greatest questions in life, like why we're here, how we got here, what we're doing here, if you want to know what's going on in the world, and we see all the things and you hear the talking heads on the media, but if you want to really know what's going on behind the scenes in all of it, you got to begin with God. And you'll have a right perspective on everything in the world. If you want to know the reason for the evil in this world, the reason why do men do bad things, why do sometimes people act like they do, begin with God and His Word, and you'll find out it's because of sin. That we have an inherent sin nature that we've inherited from, of course, our father and his father all the way back to Adam. We have a sin nature. And you know what the world will tell you, by the way, what's wrong with man and why there's sometimes evil comes out in man? They'll tell you that they're simply a victim of an unfortunate circumstance. That because, they wasn't given, a toy army man when they were a kid, that now they are a mass murderer. They'll tell them that they were some unfavorable circumstance in their life because their family was divorced or this or that, And they got all these kinds of ways. No, what we have to do is begin with God. We have to understand that it's because of sin. And you and I have it. The world will tell you that all men, women alike, are really good people. But I'm going to tell you what the Bible says. The Bible says that there's none good but God. Amen. The Bible says that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. The Bible tells us that the heart's deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. And you only get that when you begin with God. When you want to have a right perspective, we've got to begin with God. But this basis of beginning with God, I want you to understand, it's the most important principle in the world, and it's imperative to your life. There's a reason, once again, that the Bible begins with God and it ends with God, and it's the very autobiography of God. So now that we have established this principle of beginning with God, the first thing that I want you to acknowledge tonight, number one, is God created everything. God created everything. Notice it again. It says, in the beginning, God, and then that next word, created. In the beginning, God created. From the very beginning of it all, to understand, God introduces himself as Creator God. It's amazing that that's how he does in the Old Testament. He's the same God. But in the New Testament, in the Old Testament, he's God the Creator. In the New Testament, he introduces himself as the God of salvation. All right? And so, Creator. The Bible says in the beginning, God created. And from the very beginning, that's how he introduces himself. The Hebrew word used here for God is the word Elohim. Elohim. And it literally means creator. Creator. And so that's how he's introducing himself as the creator. And we're going to, as we do in Bible study, going to run some verses tonight. So I want you to turn with me to some places. Some things I'll just read. But tonight, let's go to John chapter 1 quickly if we can. John chapter 1. Talking about God, the creator, and the fact that he created all things. John 1, verse 3. We know, as it begins in John 1, in the beginning God created, in the beginning was the Word, Word was with God, Word was God, and all that. We know who it is. It's Jesus. It mentions again in 14. We'll mention that maybe later. But in verse 3, it says, all things, watch it, all things, that some things? No, all things were made by him. And without him was not anything made that was made. We had a conversation on the way to church. Somebody was asking about, but did it really say, it says he made the heaven and earth, and it said he made that, but what about the planets, And that's a question, that's something we'll bring out maybe if we have time even tonight. The Bible's clear, and that tells us that he created everything in six literal days, okay? But anyway, and look down at verse 10. So all things were made by him, verse 3, and without him was not anything made that was made. Who's got verse 10? Verse 10. Raise your hand if you got it. Go ahead, Brother Chris.
He was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not.
See that? The world, not just the earth, right? Not just sun, moon, stars. The world was made by him, and the world knew him not. Now, I want you to go to Colossians chapter 1. This is an important passage here. Colossians chapter 1. In Colossians chapter number 1. Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians chapter 1. Who's got verse 16 and 17? Colossians 1 verse 16 and 17. Go ahead, Miss Diane. You get that? It's pretty clear. Listen, by his own power and his own wisdom, before there was ever anything, God created everything. It's that simple. In 1 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 6, the Bible says, but to us there is but one God, the Father, of whom are all things, and we in him, and one Lord Jesus Christ, by whom are all things, and we by him. In Isaiah, if you want to mark this verse, Isaiah 42 and verse 5, the Bible says, thus saith God the Lord, he that created the heavens, that's who he is, he created the heavens, and stretched them out, he that spread forth the earth, and that which cometh out of it, so all the things that comes out of the earth, he that giveth breath unto the people upon it, he's the one who gave us breath, and spirit to them that walk therein. Once again, the premise I want you to understand tonight, God created everything, all right? It wasn't an accident. We dealt with a little bit, and we'll say something else about it in a moment. This didn't just happen, right? I do believe in the Big Bang. God spoke it, and bang, it was here. Amen? He spoke it into existence. So, God created everything. How did he do that? Let's go to Hebrews chapter 11. Go to Hebrews chapter 11. Look at verse 3 with me, Hebrews chapter 11. We want Hebrews 11, 3. Raise your hand if you got it. Hebrews 11, 3. Sean, go ahead. So it's not a rhetorical question. It's an honest question. So then how did everything get here? The worlds were framed by what? The Word of God. We understand by faith, we understand that the worlds were framed by the Word of God. That's how He created the world, all right? He did it by the power of His Word. And what you're going to see as we move through this six-day creation over and over again, you're going to see this phrase, and God said, let there be light. And God said, let there be a firmament. And God said, let the waters be gathered together. And God said, everything in this world that is was brought into being and brought into existence by the indisputable power of God's Word. All of it. So why did He create the heavens and earth? Why did He do that? Go to Revelation chapter 4. Revelation chapter 4. If we would get this right perspective of what you're going to read right here, it would help us tremendously in our Christian life. Revelation chapter 4, and we're going to look tonight at verse number 11. Who's there? Go ahead, Chris. Barry.
Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for Thou hast created all things for Thy pleasure, as they are and were created.
For Thy pleasure. It's not our pleasure, His pleasure. For Thy pleasure, they are and were created. Look, can I help you tonight? Excuse me. It's not about you. Not about me. There's a big billboard just recently that I passed by, literally on the road. And this is how they sell so much stuff to people. Is that they and on the big billboard literally said, "It is about you. It's all about you. It's not about you. It's not about me, friend. It better be all about Him. My life needs to be about Him." You know, Galatians 2:20, my life first, I'm crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. In the life which I now live in the flesh, I live it by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave Himself for me. For Thy pleasure all things were created. For His pleasure. That's why He created everything. Not only do we see that God created everything, I'm trying to move quickly on and get somewhere. God reveals Himself to man. God reveals Himself to man. The wonderful reality is this tonight, and don't miss this. God can be truly known, but not fully known. He can be truly known, but not fully known. In other words, you can't take God and figure Him completely out, right? By the way, it's amazing to me that people get all tripped up about that. You see, the Bible was not written to tell us everything we want to know about God. But the Bible was written to reveal to us everything God wants us to know about Him. It's not about, once again, it's not about us. He tells us everything He wants us to know. And it's not a thing where, He's going to tell us everything that we want to know, but He tells us what we need to know. And it was written to reveal to us that. One great verse to keep in your hip pocket is Deuteronomy 29:29. The secret things belong to the Lord. The secret things belong. Don't listen. Why does it bother people so much the things that they don't understand? Can I tell you this? The things that I do understand about God and about the Bible bother me a whole lot more than the things that I don't understand. People don't worry about things they do understand. They don't get saved, they're going to a devil's hell, right? They need to live right. They need to do right. We have a Heavenly Father that's going to take us to the woodshed. He said, if there be no chastisement, we're of all our partakers, then you're bastards and not sons. What I do understand bothers me a lot more than what I don't understand. Let's just stay with what we do understand. You can't understand, fully grasp God. Understand this. God is infinite. The word infinite literally means to be without limits. To be without limits. He's infinite. can understand him. In other words, he's not constricted to any laws or any boundaries of this world. This world has like the law of gravity. He's not constricted to the principle of time. He operates outside of the bounds of time. He created time for us. You don't need it. He's the all-existent God. He's infinite. He's not limited in his knowledge. The Bible tells us he's omnipotent, all-powerful. Omniscient, all-knowing. He's not limited in any of those things. He's not limited in his presence. He's omnipresent. He's everywhere at the same time. You can't listen. You can't figure him out. He's not limited in those areas. I'm glad the Bible says that even the heaven of heavens can't contain him. Let alone a man explain him. He's the all-powerful, ever-present, great almighty God. And if the infinite ever becomes finite, he's not infinite anymore. If he ever becomes limited to man's mind, other words, if he's only as powerful as what man can understand, if you can, listen, you can't put God in a test tube and figure him out. That's what we want to do. We want it, the Bible tells us about it in Romans, that they wanted to bring God down to man. Bring God down to man's level. Because we, you know, it aggravates me to hear people talk about the Lord. Well, yeah, he's my homeboy, he's my sidekick, he's my this. No, he's holy and he's God. And he's infinite. And the moment he becomes finite and you want to bring him down to your level and put him on your level, oh yes, he was 100% man walking in the flesh, Jesus. He's 100% God. So never forget, God can be truly known, and I believe clearly known, but not fully known. You'll never exhaust who God is. He reveals himself to man, first of all, through creation. Through creation. Go to Romans chapter 1. Romans chapter 1 tonight. Looking at verse 18 through 20. Who's got those verses? Romans 1, verse 18 through verse 20. Raise your hand if you're there. Go ahead, Miss April.
For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness, because that which may be known of God is manifest in them, for God has showed it unto them. For the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse.
You see, he says, the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness. It goes on. Then he says, because that which may be known of God, God reveals himself to man. That which may be known of God is manifest in them. God has showed it unto them. Verse 19, that's what he says. Manifest in them. That word manifest, it means this. It means plain, to be plain. It means to be openly visible. God has openly, visibly shown himself, manifest himself to us. How? Through creation. It means obvious to the understanding. In other words, the things that we're able to know about God, they're easily and clearly understood. It says, because that which may be known of God is manifest. It can clearly be known. Inside every one of us, God has placed something deep down in us to know there's a God. And we'll talk about that in a minute. But it's the natural thing. He's manifested in. Why is it, you think about this, that, well, we'll come back to that. But the Bible says in verse 20, the invisible things of him, watch this, from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they're without excuse. John Glenn, who was one of the astronauts on the space shuttle Discovery, he made this statement that he was speaking about the view of the Earth from space. He was talking about what his thoughts were when he was viewing Earth from space. He said, to look at the window, as I did that first day, to look out at this kind of creation and not believe in God, to me is impossible. It's impossible. Dr. George Wild, a biology professor at Harvard, said this. You think about this. The thing about Harvard, the anti-God place, right, that used to be a, quote, Christian college. Harvard. Professor, here's what he said. There are only two possibilities as to how life arose. One is spontaneous generation rising to evolution. The other is a supernatural creative act of God. There is no third possibility. Spontaneous generation, that life arose from non-living matter, was scientifically disproved 120 years ago by Louis Pasteur and others. That leaves us with only one possible conclusion, that life arose as a creative act of God. I will not accept that philosophically because I do not want to believe in God. Therefore, I choose to believe in that which I know is scientifically impossible, spontaneous generation arising to evolution. We choose what we believe. We choose what we believe. The Bible is clear. Oh, God created everything, but God manifests himself and shows himself, reveals himself to mankind, first of all, through creation. You know, most of the people that I've talked to that claim to be an atheist, they can't even offer you one other option. Nothing. Most of them have figured out how foolish, as we talked about last week, that evolution defies logic and science. Right? The second law of thermodynamics we talked about, that everything's going from order to disorder. So they won't even usually even say that anymore. They don't really know, but I don't believe that, you know, in God. They can't offer you a second option to how we got here, the world got here. Notice again, verse 20. God has revealed his existence in us. He's manifested in us, the Bible says. He's revealed his existence in creation. Creation itself tells us if you have a creature, you have to have a creator. Someone had to make it. Now in Psalm 19:1, there's another verse that sheds light on this. The Bible says, the heavens declare the glory of God. And the firmament showeth his handiwork. You know, you look up in the sky, you see the sun, the moon, the stars and all that. And all of creation, as you look at it, it solidifies the fact that there must be a creator. I don't know how in the world can anyone look up in the sky on a beautiful star-filled night without believing that there's a God. How could you stare out there at the host of heaven and know that someone created that? Someone had to put that there. The Bible says the firmament, that's the sky that we look up in, the firmament showeth his handiwork. The very heavens declare the glory of God. The sky declares the glory of God. It speaks to us and tells us something about God's glory. You can't glance up into the sky on a starry night without being overcome with astonishment by the power and majesty by which they were made. No man could have done that. No microcosm could have done that. Only God could have done that. The very heavens tell us very confidently that there is a God. The heavens declare. They make a declaration to us. I love how God, once again, never tries to prove his existence. It's always just assumed. As we mentioned last week, the Bible begins with, in the beginning, God. God didn't make an argument, start telling you about, you know, proof of how he exists or how he created anything. No, he just assumes existence. He doesn't have a problem with the fact that he exists. And he goes on here to tell us that the very heavens declare his glory. The heavens proclaim the reality of God. Their existence alone proves God's existence. You understand? The existence alone of the sun, moon, and stars proves God's existence. The reality is tonight's this. I've never seen God. And if you have, let's talk after the service. You know, you one of those that's seen a 90-foot Jesus or something in your dream, woke up, you know. I've never seen the Lord, yet God has manifested himself to mankind through creation. So sun, moon, stars shine and give off light. They testify the fact that there is a God. You can look up in the sky and know that those extraordinary objects were by divine design. And even the scientists will tell you, you talk to them, they'll tell you that at one time this earth was void and empty. Scientists will even agree with you about that. And that water covered the whole earth. Now you look around, there's trees, there's mountains, there's rivers and valleys, there's plant life and animal life that's distinct to their very own kind. There's flowers and bushes, and just think about the different species of plants across this earth. And that's supposed to have happened by accident? Or could it be that there's a wonderful God who created a wonderful world? Everything around you and I screams of life and screams of existence. Everything. You look down and see the green grass, and no matter how many times you mow it, it comes back. No matter how many years you keep mowing it, it comes back. No matter how much weed killer you use, a couple weeks, it's coming back. It's full of life, that's why. You want to know why it's full of life? Please hear me. Because one day, hallelujah, God breathed his life into this world. And until he takes his breath out of this life and this world, there'll always be life in this world. You look up and there's the sun, there's the moon, there's the stars, and they're shining and they're twinkling and they're giving off light and they're radiating, and there's a force, there's a source of energy that has to be coming from somewhere. You understand? That light, you don't understand the energy that comes off that sun and moon and the stars as they radiate. Where does it come from? Go to Hebrews chapter 1 again. What keeps it going? Hebrews chapter 1. Look with me at verse number 3. If you got it, raise your hand. Go ahead, Tyler.
Being in the brightness of his glory and the express image of his person and upholding all things by his word of his power, when he had by himself purged our sins, sat down on the right hand of the majesty on high.
We'll look at the first couple verses here in a little bit on another note. But right here he's, of course, talking about the Lord Jesus, how he's in the brightness of God's glory and the express image of his person. But here's what I want you to see. And he upholds all things by the word of his power. In Colossians chapter 1 verse 17, the Bible says he is before all things. And then it says this, by him all things consist. There's consistency. They continue to go, continue to operate. Listen to 2 Peter chapter 3 verse 7. But the heavens and the earth, which are now by the same word, remember God spoke it into existence with his word, by the same word are kept in store. Okay? By that same word. Let me back up and read a little bit to you in 2 Peter 3 through 7. Knowing this first, that there shall come in the last days scoffers, walking after their own lusts, and saying, where is the promise of his coming? In other words, they don't believe the Lord is coming back. For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of the creation. Well, they haven't, first of all. They're not paying attention. For this, verse 5, they are willingly ignorant. There's the problem. They're willingly ignorant. Of that by the word of God, the heavens were of old, okay? And the earth standing out of the water and in the water. There's the flood, all right? Whereby the world that then was being overflowed with water perished, all right? But the heavens and the earth, verse 7, which are now by the same word, are kept in store, reserved in the fire against the day of judgment and perdition of ungodly men. You know how it all keeps going? They're preserved by the word of God. Genesis 8:22, the Bible says, while the earth remaineth, seed time and harvest and cold and heat and summer and winter and day and night shall not cease. I don't know what the global warming crowd does with that. You know why I've never been worried about it? Because what we just read. God said, until I tell it to, the sun will never stop coming up. The seasons will never stop changing. The earth will never stop turning. The reason we have sustainable life on this earth when there's no real sign of life, please hear me, on any other planet is because God with his breath spoke this world into existence. And until he takes his breath out of this existence and out of this world, there'll always be life. The trees will bloom. The grass is going to grow. The stars is going to twinkle. The sun's going to shine and continue to go up every single day and down every day. Not because of some random explosion that happened billions and billions of years ago, but please understand, because there's a source of power behind it all that's empowering it all. And you know what those stars are? They're a witness in the sky. They're a testimony of the fact that there is a God. The heavens declare the glory of God. In fact, all creation points to and testifies of a wonderful Creator. You don't need to turn there for sake of time, but mark this verse, Job 12:8. All of creation, listen to what the Bible says here. All of creation points to and testifies of a wonderful Creator. It says, or speak to the earth, and it shall teach thee. And the fishes of the sea shall declare unto thee. All the earth, the fishes of the sea, everything in creation screams and testifies that there's a God. The fact that they exist means He exists. There's a complex design. The fact that there is a complex design of creation, the fact that there's order, think about that, there's order. Order don't come from disorder. The sun comes up, the sun goes down. The rivers run into the sea, the Bible tells us, yet the sea's not full. Plants grow, produce seed that produces more plants. There's an order to this thing, friend. There's a pattern to all of creation which tells us it wasn't by randomness or luck, but these things were a deliberate act of creation by an intelligent creator. The more you study science and understand the complex system in plants and animals and especially in people and everything throughout the universe, there's a complexity to all that's going on. You understand this didn't just happen by accident, but it was a purposeful design by someone who had the wisdom and the power to create it. How foolish it is for anyone to claim that they don't believe in God. Story about an atheist. He's walking through the woods one day and he's admiring all these quote accidents, right, that evolution brought, had created. Oh, what majestic trees, what powerful rivers, and what beautiful animals, he said to himself. He's walking alongside the river. He hears a rustling in the bushes behind him. As he turns around to look, there's a 7-foot grizzly bear standing right there behind him. He began to run as fast as he could up the path. He looked over his shoulder and saw the grizzly was getting closer and closer. So he begins to run faster and harder. He's scared and tears came to his eyes. And he looked again and the bear was even closer. And he runs harder and he looks again. The bear is even closer. And finally he trips. He's trying to look back. He trips and falls. And the bear standing right over him, reaching for him with his left paw and raising up his paw, fixing to strike this atheist. At that very instant, the atheist cried out, "Oh God, help me!" Time stopped. The bear froze in place. The forest was silent. Even the river stopped moving as a bright light shone out of heaven. The voice came from the sky and he said, "You deny my existence for all these years and teach others that I don't exist and even credit creation to a cosmic accident. Do you expect me to help you out of this predicament? Am I to count you as a believer?" The atheist looked directly into the light and he said, "Well, I would feel like a hypocrite to become a Christian after all of these years, but perhaps maybe you could make the bear a Christian." The voice came back, "Very well." The light went out, the river began to run, the sounds of the forest began to resume again. Then the bear dropped his right paw, brought both of his paws together and bowed his head and spoke, "Lord, for this food which I'm about to receive, I'm truly thankful." God said, he turned them over. He let them go. He walked away. Why? Because there's inexcusable ignorance. He said they're without excuse in Romans 1:20. Everyone that's born into the world is given an understanding of God. Please hear me. You're going to see this. You see it in creation, but it goes more than that. Everyone that's brought into this world is given an understanding of God. And one of those ways he does it is through creation. He says they're without excuse. They chose to ignore God. Human history began with man knowing God. You understand that? From the beginning of it all. You look back at the beginning of creation and think about how one day Adam and Eve walked with God in the cool of the day. They used to do that before the fall of man. And you see how even after the flood, Noah offers up sacrifices to the Lord. And then later you see Abraham, the friend of God, taking his son up that mountain in obedience to God. All the way from the beginning, then you see Jacob coming face to face with God there at Peniel as he wrestles with God. And all the way back from the beginning of creation, human history began with man knowing God. Always. But they turned from the truth. They rejected God. God's very clearly revealed himself to man in many ways. One of those ways is creation. I want to give you another, and I got to hurry. Another way God's revealed himself to man is through conscience. Through our conscience. I want you to go with me to Romans chapter 2 now. Romans chapter 2. You see, there's a reason nobody will ever be able to look at God and say, "You didn't love me, you didn't reveal yourself to me." Even the person that's never, quote, heard the gospel, God's put it in them to know there is a God. Look with me at verses 14 and 15 of chapter 2. Who's got it? Romans 2, 14 and 15. Anyone? Go ahead, Chris.
For when the Gentiles which have not the law do by nature the things contained in the law, these having not the law are a law unto themselves, which show the work of the law written in their hearts, their conscience also bearing witness, and their thoughts the mean while accusing or else excusing one another.
Now watch this. Don't miss this. When the Gentiles, that's you and I don't think there's any Jews here, who had not the law. We were never under the law, okay? But either way, those people who had not the law, watch this, yet they do by nature, the Bible says, the things contained in the law. It's the natural thing, automatically, to do right. We know what's right. We know what's wrong. When the Gentiles that had not the law do by nature the things contained in the law, these having not the law are a law unto themselves. In other words, it becomes a law because we're following that law. And so that law then tells us, the law it becomes is that we're without excuse. The law it becomes is that we have a knowledge of God. We have a knowledge of what's right and wrong. It becomes a law in of itself. Notice what it says. So it says, these having not the law are a law unto themselves. When you do by nature the things contained in the law, yet you don't have it. But then there's 15. Which show the work of the law. Here's what it shows. That God's law is written in our hearts. It's stamped upon our hearts. The natural thing to every man is to acknowledge God's law, even if they've never heard it. The natural thing is to acknowledge His law. It's inside of us. You know, listen, why do you think the person on the back side of the desert, they've never read a Bible nor seen one. They've never been to a church service like this. They've never heard a preacher. They've never listened to a Bible study. Yet they know that it's wrong to murder. Why is that? Because God's law is written on their heart. His law is written on their heart. They've never heard the name Jesus, but still they know it's wrong. The fact that mankind knows right from wrong, listen to me, is a testimony against every single atheist that lives. The fact that they know right from wrong is a testimony against them. When we, by nature, it just comes natural, do the things contained in the law, it shows the law of God written on our hearts. God's revealed Himself to us through our conscience. Through our conscience. Now I want you to notice God's revealed Himself to mankind. I'm trying to hurry through the Scriptures. Through the Scriptures. Go with me to Luke 24. We looked at this verse the other night, a whole different deal. I was preaching a different message, but Luke 24 and verse 27. God's revealed Himself to us through creation. He's revealed Himself to us through our conscience. He's revealed Himself to us through, we could say the canon if we want to stay with C's, but the Scriptures, canon of Scripture. Luke 24, 27, who's got it? Anyone? I'll read it. And beginning at Moses and all the prophets, He expounded, we know this is Jesus talking to the men on the Emmaus Road, we talked about it the other night. Beginning at Moses and all the prophets, He expounded unto them, watch this, in all the Scriptures, in other words, the whole Old Testament that they had at that time, that's all they had. In all the Scriptures, the things concerning Himself. He reveals Himself to us in the Word of God. He went and showed them all the things concerning Himself. In Luke 24, verse 44, jump down to verse 44 and 45. And He said unto them, these are the words which I spake unto you while I was yet with you, that all things must be fulfilled which were written, watch this, in the law of Moses and in the prophets and in the Psalms, here's the key, concerning me. All the things that was written in the prophets and Moses and the Psalms, concerning me. He's revealed to us all throughout the Word of God. You see Christ in the book on every page. He's there. In John 5:39, Jesus said this, search the Scriptures. For in them you think you have eternal life. And they, the Scriptures, are they that testify of me. He reveals Himself to us in His Word. And then I want to say He's revealed Himself to mankind through His Son. Not only through the Scriptures, but through His Son. Jesus Christ was none other than God in the flesh. 100% God, 100% man. In Hebrews, again, you don't need to turn, we've read it a couple times, but I want to back up and read the first few verses of Hebrews chapter 1, verse 1. It says, God who at sundry times, just means different time periods, and divers ways, just different ways. God put sundry time in different ways, different manners. God put sundry time in different manners. See, before God revealed himself to man through dreams and visions and angels. So God, who in the past had revealed himself through dreams and visions and angels, God who at sundry times in diverse manners spake in time past unto the fathers by the prophets, that's how he spoke to them, it come to them in a vision, a dream, hath in these last days spoken unto us by his Son. As he the appointed heir of all things, by whom also he made the worlds. Now watch this, verse 3. Who being, here's who he is, the Son, the brightness of his glory, God's glory, and the express image of his person. He's the very express image of God. He's the brightness of his glory. He's the express image of his person. God's revealed himself to man through his Son. John 1:1, you know it, in the beginning was the Word. And the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Then verse 14. And the Word became flesh. So the Word was God. And that Word became flesh and dwelt among us as God in the flesh. And we beheld His glory, the glory of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Oh yes, the greatest visible manifestation of God was seen in the face of Jesus Christ. He came to reveal to us God. In fact, Jesus said in John 14:9, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. It's just as good as seeing the Father because I am the express image of who God is. You see, Jesus Christ, please understand this, was God's final revelation to mankind. He had revealed to man himself through creation. He had revealed himself to man through our conscience. He had revealed himself to man through the Scriptures. And finally, it's the last chance. He reveals himself to man through his Son. It's the final revelation of himself to mankind. He had already revealed himself every other way. And in Colossians 1:14 and 15, it says, in whom we have redemption through his blood. We know who that is, Jesus. Forgive us of sin. Who is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature. We got to stop, but never ever forget that God created everything and God has revealed himself to mankind. No one will ever be able to stand before God and say, you didn't love me, you didn't reveal yourself to me, you kept hid from me. And that's another reason, one of the million reasons why we know Calvinism's out of the pit of hell. God has revealed himself to mankind. Jesus Christ tasted death for every man.
Amen.
Amen. All right, let's take some quick prayer requests.